you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Takeoff with John Clark, presented by Rivers Casino. And it is NFL draft time. The Eagles have three picks in the first two rounds. And let's bring in my favorite draft analyst. He is the absolute best out there. Former Eagles scout, Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network. This is an annual thing, and I appreciate you still doing it with us, Dan.
No, I appreciate it. I wish every time that I got a chance to see your face, I didn't see Bryce Harper hitting that home run in the NLCS. At some point in time, that memory is going to fade. But, John, we're not there yet, man.
I know. You got a little post-traumatic syndrome. And look, we usually make a friendly wager every year. We won't even bother with Phillies Padres this year because, you know, the Phillies probably are going to finish ahead of the Padres.
Well, I don't know. We just took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers and then followed up with 2 out of 3 from the Brewers, man. We're back, baby.
All right. Okay. So maybe we'll do a little thing on that. But here's my two quick things. Friendly wager. Will Howie Roseman trade up in the first round?
I would say this. He's going to trade. He's not going to stay. I'll go 70% up, 30% back would be my guess there. So I would say more likely to trade up than to trade back, but 0% chance he sticks and picks.
Okay. And will he draft an Alabama player?
The funny thing is, when we were talking about this trading, I'm like, okay, he could stick and pick Kool-Aid McKinstry, or he could trade up for Terrion Arnold. But also, if Latham starts to slide, he could trade up for Latham. So literally all three scenarios I was running through in my mind were all three Alabama players. So why not? Let's say yes.
All right, there you go. I will just take the opposite just in case that he won't draft an Alabama player, even though I don't believe it. With the Eagles picking at 22, DJ, when you see the amount of quarterbacks that are going to be taken, I see a lot of receivers on the mock drafts, your mock draft. Is this going to benefit the Eagles there at 22, possibly getting a good defensive player if they go that way?
I think there's a chance that one of the top three pass rushers is there. And I wouldn't have said that early on in the process because pass rushers get pushed up. It's a premier position. You could argue it's the second most important position outside of quarterback. But with this draft, when you look at the quarterbacks going, you look at the needs and the talent at offensive tackle, you're going to see a run on those tackles. All you need now is like a Brock Bowers, you know, to go in there, which is probably going to happen as a tight end. You know, maybe a Graham Barton goes in there for a center needing team. And then all of a sudden you look up and the Philadelphia Eagles are staring at either a Jared Verse, you know, or a Latu from UCLA. So Liatu Latu. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
So Kool-Aid McKinstry visited the Eagles. They've had a handful of cornerbacks come in and visit. Everybody thinks maybe this will be the time they take a corner. It's been almost 2 decades. What was it, Lito Shepard?
Lito. That's right.
But do you think that they will go corner or will they go along the lines like they normally do?
Yeah, I mean, look, the track record is there going along the line of scrimmage. I do think it is it is staring you right in the face with that need. And I like some of the, you know, there's some intriguing corners outside the first round, but I do think there's a drop off from those top handful of guys. So if I was going to lean in one direction, I'm leaning towards corner. You know, if where we are right now as we march towards the draft, if I was going to put in my guess on the Eagles, I would say it is one of the Alabama corners, whether or not that's, you know, where they are or whether they have to move up a little bit.
And that's interesting. So even though they have a couple picks in the second round, you believe that they do fall off talent-wise with quarterbacks and the best spot would be first round?
I think so. I think that there's just less guesswork with those guys in the first round. I think you get in the second round, you're talking about guys who have a major, you know, major play speed concern, a size concern. There's something missing there when you're having to take a little bit of a gamble. I think, to me, you don't want to miss on your first rounder. I mean, you want to make sure you put that one right in the middle of the fairway. There's no need to take chances. And I think when you look at the needs of the ball club, while they love going in the trenches, I just think, man, that corner needs kind of staring at you.
I totally agree. It's interesting because Howie Roseman at his press conference the other day, and look, maybe he's putting out into the atmosphere some information to throw people off, but he said he wouldn't mind, like he's done in the past, taking a guy who's not going to play the first couple of years. So that leads me to believe offensive tackle with Lane Johnson getting up there. Do you think they could go offensive tackle?
I think if it fell that way, I just think they're all going to go. I think you always leave yourself open to, hey, you know, we're not going to pass on a star. If we get a star player that just fell down the board for whatever reason, like, we'll end the slide there. We're not going to be so need dependent that we'll pass up a much higher rated player. But when I look at the teams, you start going through them, you look at all those teams that are picking ahead of them, I just think at 22, I don't know that those tackles are going to be left for them.
Do you think the Eagles have any other need on their team other than cornerback?
Well, I mean, look, I think the depth along the offensive line is something that you can look at, and Lane's age being, you know, part of that equation. But to me, I just think when I look down what I have, corner, you start there. The one that's a little bit sneaky is that I do think they need one more receiver, which sounds like almost gluttonous. But I do think you'll see them add a receiver here, you know, in the relatively early portion of this draft to give them that third guy.
And that's a good point, DJ, because Howie and Jeff Lurie have talked recently about allocating assets. And so If you have two of the highest paid receivers, 1-2, you then probably have to have guys on rookie deals at the other receiver spots, right?
Yeah, you're not free agent shopping for your third receiver when you've got A.J. Brown making what he's making and Devontae now making what he's making. So, but, you know, look, we've seen it. I look at, you know, that Cincinnati offense and how dynamic and explosive they were when Burrow has been out there healthy, and that trio of wide receivers that they trot out there, what that looks like. I think that would be enticing as well. As you're trying to get, you know, Hurts, hey, you got to get Hurts back going, get him up to where he needs to be play-wise too. So I think that would be something that would be beneficial.
So you've been in the draft room there with the Eagles. You've seen how they've operated throughout the last 20 years. Best guess as to who the Eagles could come away with, or your best case scenario for this draft?
All right, I'm going to say that the Philadelphia Eagles, they're picking 22. I'm going to say it's a very small move up. Maybe it's to get ahead of the Jags. What are the Jags? They're like 17, right? Double check it. Jags are picking 17. I'm going to say the Philadelphia Eagles, as we sit and discuss today, they end up getting up to pick number 16. And they make that swap, and they get ahead of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they take Terrion Arnold, corner from Alabama.
Nice. All right, there you fulfill a need. You get your Alabama player.
Yeah,
they got a lot of
everybody's
Alabama
happy.
Players. Yeah, everybody's happy. Yeah. It's interesting because you look at the salary cap situation with the Eagles. Six of their top seven salary cap hits for this coming season are on offense. Does that lead you to believe that they probably will go majority of their picks on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I think some of that is, you know, just the fact of they have so many young defensive players that are on those rookie deals. Like, that bill's coming due. It's not like there's not going to be some expensive defensive players on their roster. It's just, they're waiting their turn, whereas the offensive guys have already got through that rookie deal. So I don't think that'll have too much of an impact. I don't think they'll look at it that way. I just think you look at the combination of best player in need, and I think there's a chance that it could marry up quite nicely for them.
And once again, your experience with the Eagles, we've seen them draft over the last few years guys that they have brought in for those top 30 visits, and we've seen a lot of corners, we've seen offensive tackles come in. Do you think that is a tell, usually, that they kind of fall more in love with the guy or solidify their choice with the visits?
I think, look, that's part of it. You know, there's other criteria for when you bring those guys in terms of medical stuff sometimes, character on occasion. You know what? It's interesting. The thing that's helped me the most in trying to navigate around, or at least have an educated guess of what these teams are going to do, the best place to call is the school to find out, like, talk to the position coaches at the school and then find out, okay, what teams have been doing the most homework on your guys. And I'll just put it this way. The Philadelphia Eagles have done a lot of work on corners. So that's what I'll leave you with that one.
Appreciate you. Appreciate your insights all the time. I want to leave you with a couple final questions.
Yeah.
Help me understand the Hassan Reddick trade, because you have been around the Eagles organization. I know they have always tried to go younger at some point. But is there something I'm missing here with this trade?
I think that's what it is. I think, you know, he wanted to be locked in long term, and the Eagles are comfortable, you know, doing early deals, but they like doing early deals with young players, and they're going to move on a year or two too soon as opposed to a year or two too late. And when you have a chance to get a similar player, now Huff is not as rugged, and he hasn't been as productive, hasn't been asked to do as much, but he's similarly in terms of dynamic edge rushers who generate a lot of pressure, and he's just much younger. So, I mean, I don't think it's more complicated than that, John. I think that's exactly the way you framed it.
All right, but LeSean McCoy was on our podcast last week, and he brought up a good point. Why would the Jets let a younger player like Bryce Huff go and then bring in Hassan Reddick, lose a draft pick, and maybe pay him more money in a contract?
Yeah, that's the other side of the question. I don't feel as strongly about that. I mean, to me, I think the Jets, that fits into the framework of what is best for 2024. They're trying to assemble the best team they can this year, knowing that they need to win right now. And I think in that, if you look at it from that perspective, you can say, okay, well, Hassan Reddick is a better player right now than what Huff was, right now. So I think it's a short-term, long-term thing. I think the Jets with a 40-year-old quarterback are very much thinking hour to hour, whereas the Eagles can afford to be able to thinking year to year here.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And final question for you, the Bill Belichick news that dropped from ESPN, great reporting, that the Eagles did look into it or discussed internally. And then Howie Roseman actually talked to Bill Belichick, not about a job. Do you think in the end they made the right choice to run it back with Nick Sirianni with better assistance, or should they have gone the Bill Belichick route and kind of turn everything over to Bill?
Well, I think they made the right decision. I think when you look at Nick, the success he's had early on, the fact that he's still learning and growing, I think the team, has bought into him. It was spelled out in that article. You are changing everything over in the organization, not just on the coaching side. It is a whole organizational philosophical shift. And Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. I can understand how you can make that argument, but it also hasn't gone that great the last few years. So to me, I think I think Nick's earned that opportunity to keep going here.
All right. Well, Daniel Jeremiah with NFL Network, we always appreciate you coming on with us. You are the best draft analyst out there. And we look forward to seeing you all weekend long. It's going to be a long one on NFL Network, but we always appreciate you coming on with us.
I appreciate it. It'll be a wild card game this year. We'll be in the wild card, but I think our paths are crossing here once you get to the summer.
Phillies, Padres, wild card. Maybe we can get an Eagles Chargers Super Bowl one of these days.
There we go. Harbaugh, take the RV, man.
Thanks, DJ. Appreciate it.
See you, bud.
Hey, celebrity cook Steve Martorano is bringing his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly, where it started. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. So make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. I've been to the one in Fort Lauderdale. I'm glad it's back in Philly.
Hey, we always appreciate Daniel Jeremiah coming on from the NFL Network. He is so busy this time of year. He used to work with the Eagles, so he knows the Eagles so well, and he's been so right a lot of times predicting the Eagles going up and getting the guy they wanted. We also have a conversation here with Howie Roseman. I was able to catch up with him leading into the draft, and if you take a look, this interview will be seen on our NBC10 Eagles Draft Day special. That is on draft night from 7 to 8 p.m., so you'll have the Howie Roseman interview. Also, we'll have an exclusive interview with Eagles coach Nick Sirianni. And we've got the story of a couple local players. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., sound familiar? He will be available in the draft. And Max Melton, a corner from Rutgers and Cedar Creek High School. So that is our NBC10 draft night special, 7 to 8 p.m. And then NBC10's draft day blueprint. So that is the wrap-up of the entire weekend on NBC10, 11:30 Sunday night, exclusive interviews with the Eagles' top draft picks and Howie Roseman, figure out why the Eagles did what they did. So that's on NBC10. Enjoy our conversation with Howie Roseman that you can see on our draft night special on NBC10.
All right, Howie Roseman, obviously an exciting time of year. Give Eagles fans an idea of how you're looking at this draft.
A lot of quality players out there. Is it top heavy? What do you think? How can you describe it?
Yeah, I think there's great opportunities to improve our football team, not only this year, but going forward. I think that when we get to each pick, there will be opportunities that we like the players. There'll also be them. We'll make a judgment at that point. Are there opportunities to move up because there's somebody that's kind of above the value of the pick that's still available? Are there opportunities to move down because there are a lot of guys at the slot that we like and we could pick up some extra picks, whether this year or in the future? It's exciting. It's exciting. You know, we got the players back in the building, so you get to see them. You get to see a lot of the guys that we've picked, that we've signed here in the last couple of years, the energy that they have, and knowing that we're adding to that layer and continuing to bring in the kinds of player and people that we're looking for to hopefully compete for the next world championship.
So I got to be honest, I hear from a lot of Eagles fans at different places, well, they've got all the guys on offense now. Maybe they'll draft all defensive players.
Yeah.
You anticipating getting some good defensive players in this draft?
I'll tell you what, I get that from some people inside the building too. We do have defensive coaches and defensive players. So, you know, I think for us, we got to be true to our process. We got to make sure that we're taking the best players that are available, that we're not reaching for a particular position because maybe there's more of an immediate need. We still have a long time before we play the first game. The talent acquisition season doesn't end with the last day of the draft. We'll continue to look for ways to improve our team. So if there's a weakness at a particular position right now, we still have an opportunity to improve it. We just don't want to get in a situation where we're reaching from the value that we have on a player and then look back 2 or 3 years and say, man, we could have had this player. We didn't have the immediate need, but that guy became a really good player and we knew it, but we felt like we had to get this position.
You love trades. You admitted it. You love making trades. So trading up some of the last few years to get Devontae Smith. Now he's got a new contract. Mm. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, guys like that. Does that make you even more convicted when you see a player that you want to go get?
Fletcher Cox, yeah. Brandon Graham.
Oh, you know, you're going
great examples. Yeah, great examples.
Yeah. But like, does that make you even more convicted if you see a guy, go get him?
Yeah, I think it's important to have passion about who you're drafting. And so, you know, if there's somebody that we are incredibly passionate about and we're worried about losing that player, we won't be hesitate to go draft them. That doesn't necessarily mean the first round. That could mean with our second round picks. That could mean later in the draft. But we got to be convicted about that, and we got to see a big drop off on our board. We won't trade just to trade. But obviously, you know, you mentioned, obviously we got great experience with moving up. That's an option for us. In this draft, we also feel like at 22, we're going to get a really good player. We like kind of where we are, but we'll look at all the opportunities.
Have you already identified some players that you're like, I think I could see myself going up to get that guy?
Yeah, that's part of this process, you know. It's part of kind of putting a guys on a tier and saying, hey, if this guy's getting close to us, let's go up and try to get that guy. So those are the discussions that we'll have. You know, a lot of the work's been done. A lot of the evaluations now, you're going through kind of the third day and kind of the making sure those tiers are really good, making sure the undrafted guys, and then having these conversations, you know. We're not chasing ghosts in April. We're not starting to watch new players. You know, we really started this process with our scouts in May of last year. And so we've watched these guys. You know, we've gotten kind of all the numbers from the combine. We know the tools in their body. We've interviewed them. So now we're going through scenarios. And now we're making sure that we've gone through every scenario. We're earmarking scenarios that we really like, and we're trying to make them happen.
So this draft could have some or a handful of quarterbacks taken in the first round. And I see a lot of receivers on mock drafts. In a way, does that help you, since you seem solidified with that? Does that help you maybe some good players that would have gone earlier maybe get to you at 22?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, if the quarterbacks go off the board, you know, I don't think it's a newsflash to say we're not taking a quarterback in the first round, you know. And so that gives us other guys at different positions. And so there are good quarterbacks in this draft. You know, hopefully we'll keep them in the AFC. But for us, I think every time you get a guy that's at a position that you're not going to draft for one reason or another, and certainly – it's obvious why we're not a quarterback, then it gives another a player to fall to you.
You mentioned you're not going to draft for need. Do you feel you have needs on this team?
Well, you always feel like you can improve your football
team.
Where
are they at?
Well, I think that if I gave you that answer, I'd be giving the answer to the test of the rest of the league too. And so I think for us, we try to use free agency. We try to use some of our offseason signings that weren't necessarily free agency, future signings, to build depth, to put us in a position where we can take the best player. And then, you know, I feel very confident about our ability to continue to add talent to the team in the offseason, to get to training camp, to see what's out there, to do that at the trade deadline. So I don't think that our roster is going to be finalized one way or the other at the end of this draft, but it will be better.
you answer to so many people. You've got coaches. You've got everybody that has an opinion about who to draft.
Sure.
You mentioned Jason Kelce looked at some guys, liked Cam Jurgens. Mm-hmm. Do you have players on this team right now that are coming to you with tapes of guys or telling you, I like this guy?
Yeah, I think it's just, it's like I opened this door, and now all of a sudden, you know, everyone wants to scout. But you know what? I love that our players are interested in the evaluation process. I love that they're interested in trying to prove this team. So, you know, for me, like, I'm an information gatherer. You know, we take information. We're also trying to improve people, not only on the field, but off the field. So I think that's a great opportunity for us. You know, when you have guys who played for this team, who care about this team, who want to see it continue to succeed and are interested in furthering their career. You know, we have some guys who work for us, who played for us. I think that's a beautiful thing.
So you've been in this job for a while. So now you've got a Hall of Famer like John Runyon. His son comes through the draft, through the prep, drafted. Now you got Jeremiah Trotter, a Hall of Famer with the Eagles. His son's coming through. You always talk about sentimentality with players. So how difficult is it to watch the tape or judge and try to keep a level head about the talent evaluation with a Jeremiah Trotter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm human, you know, and you care about people that played for this team that really contributed to my personal success and my professional success. And so it's normal to have those emotions. And that's why, you know, we have other people involved in this process, and they can say to me, hey, Howie, why don't you watch this game? Maybe it's a different perspective about that, or look it from this lens, or I see exactly what you're saying. Let's go get that guy. So I think that that's what this whole process is for. I'm very confident in the information that we're getting from a wide variety of people, and I know we'll make some good decisions.
Final question for you. You talked about Nick Sirianni, and they come up with a red zone plan. They go through their game plan. Do you literally have, like with owner Jeff Lurie, do you have like a mock draft where you have different scenarios and you're on the clock, you're making calls?
You know, John, I wish I told you we had one. We will go through every scenario. You know, there will be some that I literally will go home and I'll need a drink because it'll be so depressing about that scenario, whether it's in the first round or the second round. But you know what it does? I think Jeffrey does an unbelievable job of preparing us and peppering us with questions. Hey, if this happens, and then you're in this situation. And so what really we do is we expect the worst and hope for the best. And so we'll go through scenarios, whether it's in a previous draft, everyone's going, this many quarterbacks will go. We'll go in a scenario where none of those quarterbacks go and just say, hey, it's all position players. What are you doing here? And sometimes that's actually happened in the draft. So I think that puts us in a position to be ready to, so that we're not in a surprise mode in the draft and going, we didn't expect this. You have to expect it. That's our job. That's our responsibility.
All right. Best wishes. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.